church age. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And is born, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. This word first in this age is going to be extremely important. First works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlesticks out of its place, except thou repent. But this hast thou, that thou hatest the deed of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You can be seated. We left off last time in this age, we just laid a groundwork for it, spoke of the city, Ephesus, meaning the light of Asia. And Ephesus was a population of about 300,000 people, was a great commercial city. And its name, we spoke of, meant aimed at and relaxed. And the prophet of God showed that it was from too high, from two different perspectives, a great high of a revival that had started and a great low that it had fallen away to the point to where God says that you've left your first love. We spoke of the Greek and the Roman goddess Diana or Artemis, depending on which perspective of culture they were from, and how that she was a shapeless mass with no shape. And the prophet spoke about that being a type of the Trinity doctrine. We spoke also about the church, its messenger, the Apostle Paul, and how that Paul established that true church, the first church. They're the first true faith church, and we had some slides about that, which we don't have today. We'll just go through this with our Bibles. We spoke about how that the prophet was able to give the dates for every age and the dates for the ending, the beginning. He gave and listed the messengers, and the reason he was able to do this was because he found a keystone in the Bible, and that keystone was that God is unchanging, that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what he did in the first age, he'll have to keep doing through the church ages, which we know we're still in the church ages. And we spoke of its pastor, Paul, Timothy, that Paul admonished and established and sent Timothy, and that's where we left off. But this word, as we said here in Revelation chapter 2, this word first, there's two things you're going to notice when you're looking at this church age. And that is when it says here that, remember therefore from whence thou were fallen. If you have your Bible, look at verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Somebody say that with me. First works. That's going to be very important. And you're also going to see something at the very end of it when she gives to the reward of the overcomer. He says, to him that overcometh in verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So you see the word first, and you also see Eden. What does Eden and first have to do with each other? It has to do with the fact that it was the beginning. It was the first. And just as much as Genesis was the beginning of the creation of God, Ephesus was the beginning of the church ages. Just as much as Genesis is the seed chapter, Ephesus was the seed chapter for the church ages. Are you following that, or are everybody shuffling and you got confused? It's a very important point. Two things that you're going to notice here is first, the word first, and you're going to see this a lot. He says, remember and do the first works. Thou hast left thy first love. So it's all about first, what is the Spirit trying to say to us? That what you see happening in Ephesus at the first church age was a seed chapter. It was a seed just as much as Genesis was the seed. That's why he points back to the reward being the tree of life. That to him that overcometh will I give to grant with thee, will I grant unto thee the eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So just as what Genesis was to creation, being the prophet of God said you could track everything back to Genesis, it was the seed chapter. It's where everything took place. It's where life began. It's where death began. It's where time began. It's the beginning chapter. It's where murder began. It's where pride began. It's where adultery began. The beginnings of everything you find in Ephesus, the only difference is that in Genesis it was just a seed. And as time goes on, that seed matures and matures and matures to where all the way today we are at the fruition and we are at the maturity of the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. That was the beginning, we're the end. Now, take that same parallel with Ephesus. Ephesus was the seed chapter. Ephesus, that's why he uses Genesis when he gives the reward to the overcomer, because he's letting you know this is the beginning. And if you study the church ages, the prophet constantly says that. He says, what happens here in Ephesus at the first church, don't just think of it as, oh, it was just way back there. But no, that was a seed. So everything you see coming into the church in the first church, in the first age, under the first messenger, would mature throughout seven church ages. And so the seeds of what we're facing today are not something new. The spirits you face in Laodicea and in the day that you, age you live in is not something new. It's the maturity of the original seeds that were planted in the first church age. Amen. That's going to become clear if you read the church age book in the Ephesian age. I just thought that was incredible. That the same way Ephesus parallels Genesis, the beginning. Do the first works, he says here in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come thee quickly, and I remove that candlestick from its place. So notice the very first thing, that, and we're gonna just stop there, and we'll pick that up here in a minute. But notice what he says here in verse 2. Read it with me, Revelation 2, verse 2. And I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So the Ephesians believed, as the prophet of God said, that the people ought to be holy. They believed in separation. They believed in practicing a sinless life, a perfect life, an overcomer's life. It was not that they were perfect. It was not that they were holy. It was not that they didn't have faults and failures. No, they were no different than anybody else. But their goal, the Brother Branham says, the name of Ephesus means aimed at, meaning that was what their aim was. You're not perfect. You're not sinless, but your aim, your gun is aiming towards that. That's what your motivation is. That's what your objective is in life, is to reach that height of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So according to this verse, the prophet says they took steps, they took action to keep sin, to keep the church unleavened from sin. And we see this, that immediately they start warring at the very beginning with the apostasy. Sin had already entered the church. Notice, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou cannot bear them which are evil and has tried them which say they are apostles. So what you're getting very quickly is this was not a perfect church. What you're getting very quickly, as we said last Sunday, is this plant that was growing had already, weeds had started cropping up. Weeds had already stopped popping up in the church. Diseases had already started infecting this plant. And so we see that the apostasy, as the prophet said, had already started. The prophet says, but they were obedient to the words of Paul when he said to put away the wicked from among them. They were a separated people. They had come out of the world, and now, he says, they weren't going to let the world enter amongst them. Amen. So this group that starts from hearing a man, a prophet, who they believed, say, well, the people that were expecting the Messiah, where did this church begin? Where did this group in Ephesus begin? It began with them hearing a prophet's message, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin from the world, that came from an introduction of a messenger. And they believed that message, and they came out from the world, and they became a separate people. They became a consecrated people. They became a dedicated people. They weren't just dedicated to the dress code. The Bible says that they committed themselves to study and to doctrine and to teaching. Amen. Right. But the Bible says that immediately what happens, Brother Branham says they were a separated people. They had came out of the world, and they weren't about to let the world come back amongst them in the church. They would not put up with sin in the church. It's what Jesus says. He admonishes them. He says, how thou cannot bear them which are evil. You have no tolerance. The world's looking for tolerance today. The first church age had no tolerance. None for evil. Right? None. He says, Brother Branham says, they had no tolerance. He says they weren't going to put up with evil. But the prophet of God said they weren't going to put up with sin in the church. Holiness wasn't a phrase with them or a figure of speech. Right. Brother Branham says it was a way of life. Amen. 1 John 4:1, the Bible says, because many false prophets are going out into the world, are gone out into the world. So false prophets had already started to move into this church. The apostasy, we could already see the Antichrist spirit was already at work. Don't think of the Antichrist as something coming at the end of the world. But Jesus says it's already, Paul says it's already at work. Even at the very beginning, it was already at work in seed form. In seed form, in a small measure, the Antichrist spirit was already infiltrating the church. And it was coming against what? It wasn't coming against the people. It wasn't coming against a belief. It was coming against the word. The prophet says, why? Here is where it all started, right here in the first church age. And he says, and if it started in the first church, it will have to grow until the end, until now, when it takes over. This is exactly what you will see as we cover all the ages. It starts out, he says, real small in the Ephesian age, and it grows a little more and a little more in every age until it's the anti-word, the antichrist system takes over entirely, and the infallibility of the word is repudiated, which means rejected by the false apostles of the false church. He makes a very interesting statement here, and I think it's very important. I think it's paramount to understanding the ages. He says, now it's easy to get the wrong impression of what we're talking about because I'm making this so strong. It could sound to you as though this anti-word, anti-Christ spirit is a complete repudiation or rejection of the word. A denial of the Bible culminating in its rejection. So let me just clarify that. When you think of the word antichrist, when you think of the word anti-word, what does your mind go to immediately? If you were to identify or to galvanize and put in a substantive way what you think in your mind, that would be the antichrist. And I think it would be this. And I think it would be, maybe you have some image in your mind of the antichrist or the false church or the false priests. And you ask yourself, if I was to look at that, what would it look like? What would the antichrist spirit look like? That would tell me, what does the antichrist church look like? What does the antichrist movement look like? And the prophet says, be very careful when you galvanize that image. You don't come up with some church that hates the Bible and rejects the Bible and rejects Jesus Christ and rejects Christianity and rejects the cross. He says, be very careful, because that's not at all what I'm saying. Brother Branham says, it's not a denial of the Bible, rejection. No, sir, it's not that at all. In fact, it's so close that it would deceive the very elect, that if it was possible. Amen. That's the image you should have in your mind. The Antichrist spirit, the prophet says, look, now remember, Ephesus is the seed chapter, the seed age. Genesis was the seed book. And what started in Genesis was two religious people, one with revelation, one without revelation, both with the desire to serve God, both with the desire to worship God, both with the desire to be pleasing to God. But one of them wanted to do it his own way. And at the very beginning, Genesis starts with twins. And those twins would struggle and war and fight and pull at each other throughout all of time, even today. You have a Cain, you have an Abel, a Cain who murdered Abel. You have a Jacob and Esau who hated Jacob and fought against him. You have a Jesus and you have a Judas. Those two twins, the prophet says, always fighting, warring. And just as much as the beginning, the seed chapter of Genesis, the church ages at the very start of the church, at the very birth, at the very beginning is twins. Amen. It's not a denial of the word. It's not a rejection of the Bible. It's intertwined. It's saying almost the same thing. The difference here is that just as in Eve, just as in Eden, what was the difference between the true church and the false church? One word. One word. Think about that. Just one word, Brother Branham said, caused all the dead children, all the diseases, all the wars, all all the problems of the world was caused by one word being changed. And he said, and the only difference between the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Christ is that one wants to just substitute and change the word where they want to. It's the way he says it. He says, whereas the true church comes under subjection and says, I don't want to change this. I want to change me to fit this. You stay with the word. He says, but that Antichrist spirit wants to change and substitute the word for what they want in their life. It was the changing of the word. It was the changing in the beginning. It was the changing of just one word. Amen. And in Revelations, the Bible says, whosoever taketh away one word, his name shall be taken out of the book of life. Cursed is the man who takes away one word. And in Ephesus, in the beginning, it was just the same, just one word added. Just one word. When Peter gave us the simple formula, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But the Antichrist spirit wants to come in and mix that up and change that up. It was just one word taken away, and the Antichrist, Brother Branham says, what happens in the Ephesian age, this is a quote I'm going to read, in Ephesus, it's just the same, just a word added. Just a word taken away, and then the Antichrist spirit begins to flourish. Just as in Eden, there were two trees, both planted in the same earth, both flourished and was nourished by the same rain, both received the same sun and lived by the same sun, the same cycle. You say, what's the difference between those two trees in the Garden of Eden? The only difference is they had two different seeds inside of them. Amen. They both lived under the nourishment of God. They both were planted in the same earth, but one was of one seed, one was of another. And so that sun and that rain and the wind and the seasons, both were there to nourish the plants, but what was the sun and the rain and the star and then the seasons to do? They were to bring both of those trees to maturity. Amen. They were both maturing them. One was maturing them to disobedience. One was maturing it to obedience. Both partaking. One stays with the word. One tree stays with the word. One tree changes the word to where it wants to and substitutes it with its own ideas. And every single time, the prophet of God said, every single time it brings forth death, spiritual death. You want to know how to bring forth death in your life? Change the word of God. You want to know how to bring forth life? Stay with the word of God. Amen. Prophet, it says here, and now look in Revelation 2. We'll just continue on with this just last couple minutes that we have. Verse 3. Verse 3 of Revelation 2. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Now here is something else that started in that age. Here's something else that started in that age. Started. Beginnings. Seeds. He says, and will continue right down through the ages, getting deeper and darker. That is, people were repudiating that name. People were repudiating. The prophet loves to use this word, and it was, you'll see it a lot here in the church ages, and don't gloss over that word. It has a very important meaning. The word repudiate, if you look it up in just the dictionary, it says to refuse, to accept, or be associated with. So think of that. To refuse, to accept, or to be associated with. It also means to deny the validity of something. And now think of the prophet's statement. The people were repudiating the name, or they refused to be associated with the name. Right. When they substitute the name of Jesus Christ for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are repudiating the name of Jesus, and they are refusing to be associated with it. That's why we love the name, because we realize there's power in the name. Is that what our brother Crosby preached to us? There's power, not just in saying the name, but the life behind the name. When there's a life to back it up, when you don't repudiate, you don't refuse to be associated with, you embrace that name of Jesus. And this, sadly, is where we come to. When the Bible says in verse 4, look in your Bible there. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first. There it is again. What's it doing? It's constantly reminding you, this is the beginning. This isn't just something that was going to happen. Like as in other ages, there would be certain spirits that would only affect that age. It would come and it would end. Then there were certain doctrines that would come and it would end. But in Ephesus, it was all about seeds. It was all about a repeat. It was all about a pattern being set forth. Just as much as the church in the first age would be the pattern. And every church age that would be the true church would have to go back to that first pattern. Would have to go back to the first church. The Brother Branham said even the messengers would have to go back and be like Paul. And preach like Paul. And act like Paul. That's why our messenger said, I preached what Paul preached. And the voices of millions said, we're resting on that truth. That you stayed with the word. What is the bride resting on? That the prophet stayed with the word and preached what Paul preached. Amen. And just as much as we would have to go back to the first pattern, the same way the Antichrist spirit would just be a manifestation or a maturity of the first fall that happened in the Ephesian age. There would be a fall in Eden, and it would affect all of time. There would be a fall in Ephesus, and it would affect all the ages. Are you following that? Is that clear? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, Brother Branham says, to understand this, you must realize that the Spirit isn't speaking alone only to Ephesus. He says, but the message is to the entire age, which lasted 120 years. Its message then, the message of Ephesus, is to all the generations in that span. Now, history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see the fires fading in the next. Remember, the meanings of the word Ephesus means aimed at and drifting. It's not that it has two meanings. It's not schizophrenic. It's speaking of two time periods. It was aimed at one point, and then it became relaxed and drifting all the way to where they've left their first love. And he says, history keeps repeating itself. In the third, embers may be growing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of that original flame. Then God lights the fire again. And the same process is repeated. The same process that you see in Ephesus of a church that's on fire, revival, miracles, signs, and then grievous wolves come in. Apostasy comes in. Watering down the word comes in, taking away holiness out of the church, taking away the spirit moving freely in the church, replacing the name of Jesus for a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, denying the name of Christ. But then there's a little elected seed that stays with the word. Amen. All the way till that church age is closed. You see the same thing happening in the age you live in. We're out of time. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, we can just continue on. Time constraints, Lord, don't allow us to. We just believe, Lord Jesus, that you were in some of this, Lord, that we spoke on today. We pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, in the remainder of this service, the songs, Lord, that will be sung, the word that will come forth, Lord, as the people continue to gather in. Bring them here safely, Lord. Be with us, God, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.